Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing AWS bills here in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. Today is July 22nd, and I'm going to be in San Francisco all week long for a change. That almost never happens. This episode is sponsored by Influx Data, the creators of InfluxDB. InfluxDB is like Amazon TimeStream, except for the part where it has customers. In addition to being available for sale, it's also the de facto time series database you probably use if you need a time series database at all. More about them a bit later, or if you're impatient now, you can visit influxdata.com. So what happened last week in AWS? Well, let's dive into it. Amazon DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility is now available in the London region. For those who aren't aware of DocumentDB, it's like MongoDB, except Amazon makes money instead of Mongo. There's been a broad global expansion of Amazon's EC2 instances that support AMD processors, which are just like Intel-based processors, only slower, crappier, and somehow less expensive as a result. Amazon ECR, or Elastic Container Repository, now supports increased repository and usage limits. Huzzah! Technically, it's always supported higher limits, but now it does it by default, so you don't have to ask, Mother May I? Amazon Inspector is now available in the Stockholm region. If you're running workloads there, that may very well be of interest to you. AWS Code Pipeline has achieved HIPAA eligibility, so if you need to shove a hippo into a pipeline, you're thinking of something else. AWS Device Farm improves device startup time to enable instant access to devices. Device Farm, for most of us who aren't aware of what that is, involves being able to run your software on a bunch of actual iPhone or Android devices living in a cabinet somewhere. It is a terrific contender for, does the service exist or did I just make it up? Yes, it really does exist. AWS Direct Connect now supports resource-based authorization, tag-based authorization, and tag-on-resource creation. That's right, someone finally thumb-wrestled the tagging support into the product. InfluxDB is obviously the time series database that everyone thinks of when it comes to Influx Data's products, but they've got way more than that to offer. Telegraph is for metrics collection from systems, Chronograph for visualization, and Capacitor, spelled with a K because of course it is, for real-time streaming. Yes, they're provider agnostic, but they of course can all be run on AWS because that's where people's resources tend to live. What's more is that all of those are offered both as open source solutions as well as hosted SaaS offerings. Check them out at influxdata.com and see if you might have a problem that would benefit from a sudden influx of influx. My thanks once again to Influx Data for sponsoring this episode of the AWS Morning Brief. It's gotten easier to discover documents in AWS Systems Manager automation. It's gotten no easier to realize you're using services like AWS Systems Manager Session Manager as a name. Hey, Corey, you've made that joke before. Maybe you should pick a new one. Yes, maybe they should fix the name and then we can all move on and be happier for it. EC2 hibernation feature is now available to customers in the Stockholm region, where they have many bears that hibernate. And also the Asia-Pacific Hong Kong region, where historically hibernation has not been that big of a thing in the local wildlife. The Elastic Fabric Adapter is officially integrated into the libfabric library. You know what you call Elastic Fabric Adapters? That's right, suspenders, or possibly belts, occasionally underpants, depending upon what we're talking about. But nay, this is a networking thing. Introducing the Amazon Coreto Crypto Provider, or ACCP, for improved cryptography performance. This is an open source release that they've given to the Java community, which apparently takes a long time to compute needed cryptographic solutions. They have some impressive charts and graphs on this. We're apparently doing things like supporting TLS, now don't take the bulk of your fleet. I question how prevalent this is, but if that's really how slow Java has been taken to adopt these things and calculate effective encryption, what's wrong with it? It's an impressive release, but I question it. So we'll see. The AWS Resource Groups and AWS Resource Groups Tag Editor now supports additional AWS resources. For most people who have no idea what this is, it's tucked away, hidden in the console, as a handy place where you can apply tags en masse to a large part of your environment. Now it supports additional additional resources, additional services. It sounds like someone's cracking a whip over in the AWS tagging group, which is fantastic to see. SageMaker Batch Transform now enables associating prediction results with input attributes. What does that mean in real life? No one knows. It goes down to machine learning, which no one quite knows what to wrap their head around as far as it goes for meaningful differences to products, but everyone's just scared to admit it, and no one's going to be doing anything that doesn't support machine learning on it for the foreseeable future out of fear of falling behind and looking like we're all relics stuck in yesteryear. Oh crap, did I just say the quiet part out loud? They've now provided additional information about AWS security services. That's right, the documentation now has over 40 additional chapters added to it, their term, not mine, on different per-service security information. That's right, rejoice. They've given us effectively an entire new book full of homework to do. And this is trumpeted as a good thing, not as additional burden that is now being shoveled onto us as customers. Excellent. Excellent. And the last release of the week is that the AWS Cost Explorer now supports usage-based forecasts. In other words, it looks at what you're currently spending and tells you what you're likely to be spending based upon what you've been spending so far. You know, the only reason you would ever want to use a service like that to tell you in the future what something is about to cost you? Yeah, it does that now. Kind of. Only 3 short years after most of its competitors in the open source and in the vendor market have already done something remarkably similar. Huzzah. And that's a wrap for this week's episode of the AWS Morning Brief. I'm Corey Quinn, cloud economist for the Duckbill Group. And if you have an AWS bill that's terrifyingly expensive to you, we can help. Go to lastweekinaws.com/services to learn more. Our thanks to Influx for sponsoring this week's episode, and I will talk to you next week.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.